Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, guiding you to a career in financial services. This episode originally aired on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Make sure you join me each week as I share with you information on how to become a financial professional and the things you should be considering as you navigate down this career path. Without further ado, here's this week's episode. What is up, everybody? This is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, and I got a very special guest, a friend of mine, buddy, fellow PV alum, Mr. Preston Cherry, joining us on this particular podcast. What's up, Preston? How you doing, man?
Good morning, my friend. Good morning. Always having a PV alum, talking to a PV alum is always great.
So you and I, we chat a lot, man. We've met Obviously, online and then kind of cultivated a relationship. And we talk about the financial services industry. We talk about gender. We talk about race within the industry. We talk about all the things we like and don't like. We're always keeping it real. So what I wanted to do really in this call, in this conversation, is just kind of give some of the audience that that I serve kind of behind the scenes on what it looks like, you know, practitioner to practitioner, and what we talk about and some of the things that are top of mind for us to continue to grow our business. Hoping to prepare all of them for a better career and to be able to serve people in this industry. So, but before we get into that, why don't you give us a little bit of your background? Cause you got a ton going on. Like how you got into the industry, what you're doing now, and things of that nature.
Well, this is a good time to introduce mentorship, because I got into the business through a mentor. He's still a mentor of mine. So I met him at Prairie View University, and he ran a financial planning course there, introduced me to the world of personal finance. I've lived it, right? And in the household, I didn't know it had a name. I didn't know it had a thing. I didn't know it was it. So he introduced me to the concept of that, and I took a hold of that. We took a trip to Texas Tech University, so they have a leading program in the country. So that was back in 2003. And then I went out and worked into the world. I was in banking at the time. I was a teller in financial services, so that's where I cut my teeth in financial services, so to speak. And when I finished Prairie View, I went out and worked into the world again, banking, and then cut my teeth in investment operations. So that's where I got my Series 7 and 63 at first, and just doing paperwork. It was, I forgot which act it was at the time that we were repapering suitability and all that. So that's where I learned a lot of basics. And then after that, went to Texas Tech, got my master's degree in personal financial planning in 2006. About a decade, 12, 13, 14 years now, many things. So I started out junior planning at a financial planning firm, an RIA in Houston. And then I did institutional retirement sales at a firm in the Northeast. And then sold mutual funds. That was fun. So I was a wholesaler. And my financial planning background helped me there, too, because I was able to talk to the advisors and relate to what they were doing. So that helped relationship build there. I also spent a couple of years at a family office, about a $120 million RIA, and I was a jack of all trades there. So a co-investment manager at the firm level, we managed $120 million. I was also a client-facing financial planner and also running operations there at the office. So it was a lot. But that said, it was a great learning experience. And now I went back to Texas Tech. Now a PhD candidate officially, should be finished here in about a year. And I launched a virtual financial planning practice last year.
So, there you are. Man, you've got your hands full. And this is what I always tell my audience of either current or aspiring financial professionals, that the path is not linear, right? There's all these, you know, dips and curves, and you know, you got to cut your teeth, like he said a couple times. You got to learn paperwork. And it's just not this glamorous, I'm going to have, you know, 100 families show up and want me to manage their life savings, right? So talk about that path to CFP, and we're going to get into, you know, the different designations and stuff, hopefully a little bit, because there's a few, I would say, distinct paths when it comes to how you want to earn that particular designation. And maybe we need to back up just a second and say maybe why you chose CFP versus CHFC or, you know, any of the other designations that are out there. There's an alphabet soup of them. What was particularly attractive about earning the CFP?
The CFP has been around the longest, and even just in the last 13 years or so, let's see, 2006, or what is it, 16 years, I guess, 2016, yeah, 13, and in the last 13 years, the CFP recognition to the public has increased astronomically, and it's been intentional because they've had the budget for it and wanting the public to know. So the CFP has been the most consistent and the most visual, particularly for those in the profession. They've known it's been around a while. It has an international reach as well. But like I said, the prevalence of it in the public eye has been enormous the last decade. It has held the profession and the public importance, because it does convey the financial planning process, what it is, clients first, fiduciary, all that. Those are the distinctive terms. And that's and backing up, that's another reason why I chose the CFP, because it's so clear about the process that you should walk the client through, and also the duties of the client and the practitioner. All right. Our duties are to have the client interest first. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's phenomenal. And then on the other side is for the client to be a partner in their own process. So, and then that's why the importance of CFP is there.
So I went the path of not going to a program. And let's go ahead real quick, plug PVU, because we are two alumnus. They are the third HBCU to have a certificate program registered with the CFP board. So kudos to them. I want to just kind of get your take, because you have an interesting background in that you teach at one of the flagship programs in the country, the CFP program, and the all the stuff that goes in there, the capstone, all the courses, the education component of it. And then on the other hand, there's, you know, providers like Kaplan and Zahn and Dalton. Talk about the distinction between those two, because some people are obviously career changers and they're probably not going to go back to school and enroll in a program like Texas Tech's. And they will have to go to, you know, education provider, if you will. Talk about the distinctions between those, if there are any that are substantive.
Well, I think for full disclosure, I partner with Dalton and use their instructional tools to prepare for the CFP exam, and also satisfy the requirements of classes in order to take the CFP. And like you said, these firms serve a role. There's four or five of them. They're consolidating. There's been some consolidation in the industry, so it's more about. And the same thing with finding a planner or finding somewhere you want to work. It's more about what the fit is. But first of all, any system that you use, rule number one is time in the material. It's time in the material. You got to put in the work and the time. That's number one. So all of them are going to fail if the time is not put in. However, with if you put in the time, if that's given, then with Dalton, you know, that I like their synergy and materials, their online presence. I like that. And just using, they build up, it's kind of building blocks. You use the books, you read the books, you take the book quizzes, and then you get a little harder online quizzes, and it's kind of like a stepladder. And it is a system, and it's intentional.
So let's pivot a little bit. You know, there's probably a segment of all financial planners that are going to be those extrovert salespersons, rainmakers. But there's so many on the back end of that. Let's call that 10% or maybe even less. The 90% there's a bunch of jobs out there, right? You just got to go find them, obviously get your, maybe your credentials or your education, and then go start interviewing with firms and see where their needs are. I'll say this, you know, the job I had before I started DGH Capital Management was actually a customized fit-in job, right? I came in for one thing and then started interviewing for the position. And he was like, oh, I didn't know you can do that. Okay, well, you do this. And we built my job description literally at his desk. So, you never know, right? You've got to connect with people.
And I'll say this to bring it back home to where you were going, mm-hmm. is, you know, career path. And that is, it's education, credentials, okay? And then getting some experience, Dominique. This is underrated. Many people want to dream. It's no problem with dreaming big. That's great. However, that may not happen right off the bat. Okay. And also, we're talking about personality. Let's get in somewhere. Maybe it may be somewhere that you may not particularly like at the onset. Okay. But use that experience. I know you've had environments where you're like, okay, this may not be a good fit, but you did take something away, you know, that you can transfer. And you hear on many podcast interviews and whatnot from professionals like yourself and I that have grown to a stage. Everyone, here's a commonality in all of those conversations. Every last one of those people took something from an environment they did not like at the beginning or even in the middle and transferred to where their ultimate destination is going to be. And you know what? Guess what that took? It took time and patience as well, okay? And a couple of back steps. Those are all, you'll hear that in every story. So one of the things that I share with, for those that ask for some feedback, is time, patience, and get some experience so you can find that area where you have the most passion.
Thanks for taking the time with me today to listen. Just one quick question before we continue. Have you subscribed to my YouTube channel yet? If you haven't, I want to give you just one more reason to subscribe. Each week, I'm going to be sharing what I've learned in 20 plus years in the industry so that you can reach your goals faster. How's that? Now back to this week's episode. So let me ask you this, because I got a handful of people, and this is going to be a specific question that I know that they ask me, is like, how exactly? That is the what I need to do, definitely. Mm-hmm. And even the why I need to do it. But when they're like, I can't find a job, or I'm looking and I can't, you know, seem to find that right opportunity, how exactly do I get that experience? Like, what are some ways, maybe some tangible ways that maybe some of your students have asked you about, like that next step? Okay, I'm graduating, I'm gonna sit for the CFP, but now I need that experience, right? Like, even before I can get my CFP letters, right? Like, what are some tangible ways that you've maybe talked to them about?
So that's where the strength of financial planning programs at universities come in, to where they built relationships with the large wirehouses, the large custodians, and then the regional RIAs in the area, the planners that are boots on the ground. You know, because you know we have local, state, and federal. Okay, same difference with the levels of financial planning, right? When you get more local, you have a more relationship, right? You can get more customizable and to your local community. Same thing with your local RIAs. They know the community. They know the atmosphere. They know the environment. They can build better relationships with the organizations that are in town, like the universities, the FPAs, and your chapters and the like. Okay, so there's some magic in a local RIA. It's phenomenal. That said, so when you come out of university, hopefully your university has your program has the relationships. Another way, if your program doesn't have the relationships, your local financial planning organizations do. Okay, so as I mentioned, we have the FPA. You have research. You can research anything. It's phenomenal how much research people will put into their next furniture purchase, or their travel, okay, their travel destination. Oh, man, woo, they have some research. They will spend some time on that research on the internet. You know, but when it comes down to finding out, okay, how do I research maybe this new area that I want to go to, I share with the people that ask again the question that you're talking about. How? Okay, here's five websites. Spend 2 or 3 hours on each one of them, okay? Click onto every one of those areas, okay? Go to the job board. Go to the philosophy. Go to read a couple of articles. See what experienced advisors or planners are doing and saying, okay? Spend time in there and start taking notes, okay? Just like if you're going to go to Jamaica, okay? You know, it is a destination, right? So research, okay? So if your university doesn't provide, if you're not a young person coming directly out of university, okay, that's fine. If you're a professional that's wanting to change in mid-career, I start with the websites and CFP board, FPA, go on to Schwab, and I'm not endorsing any type of company with Schwab, TD, Ameritrade, whatever they're doing.
NAPFA.
NAPFA is another organization. All these organizations, let's do some research first.
Quad A,
African-American Advisors Association, all of these. And find out, Financial Therapy Association, find out what you're getting into and what it's all about. You know, so, and then lastly, I'll say that, and this applies to everything, somebody knows somebody, Dominique. Somebody knows somebody. You know, when you need something in life, okay, again, I'll go back to that plumbing situation or maybe a traveling destination or how about going to see a musical artist and you're about to come off that $150 for that concert ticket. You make a call first. Have you seen such and such live? You know? Do I need to? Right? So, I mean, it's degrees of separation, right? So you know somebody that knows an advisor. If you're talking about transferring mid-career and you need to go in there and say, pick up the phone and say, after you get the introduction, right, or send them a small email, I know such and such. He and she referred me over to you. I'm trying to change careers. Do you mind if I come in and just get some feedback from you or shadow you for a day? Listen, no matter what this world on social media and the news and the TVs is like, most people want to help, Dominique.
Talk a little bit about, you know, why you started Concurrent Financial Planning, and particularly maybe your philosophy around life's blueprint and things of that nature, and just your approach to financial planning, and then how people can connect with you, because, you know, this is a platform. We all help each other. Sometimes a fit for me may not be a fit for you, and then vice versa. So I want to just throw that out there for, you know, the last segment here for you to kind of talk about yourself.
With Concurrent Financial Planning, which is Concurrent FP.com, you just go there and visit the philosophy. And one thing I'll start with is at my firm, the moniker is, you know, have your life lead your money, not your money lead your life. Okay. And have life money balance. Those are my two philosophies. Because what do I mean about having your money lead your life? Well, if there's no plan, then you're living your life on how your money tells you how to, because there was no plan. You may have, which is a popular term, phrase, right? You may have too much month left at the end of the money. Well, you have to live accordingly to that, because there was no plan, okay? So, but if you have your life lead your money, then what goals did I set? What aspirations do I have? What do I want to do? What lifestyle? How do I want my family to live? Okay, and then, so your life then is directing your money. And that's what we mean at Concurrent about having your life lead your money and not your money lead your life. And also, you know, having life money balance. And this is what I mean by living concurrently, because your financial life and your home life have to work parallel and they have to be going in the same direction. As soon as they cross paths or intersect, then what are they doing right off the bat? They're going in different directions. So that's what I mean about having your financial life and your home life or your personal life run concurrently and run parallel in the same direction.
No, so, I agree.
So that's just in a nutshell what Concurrent is all about. And I appreciate the opportunity to share with your audience.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We got a lot of overlapping ideals and stuff. But as I always tell people that view this as a competitive landscape, yeah, I get that word. But at the end of the day, if you do a great job for people, there's plenty enough to go around. So that's just my philosophy. Well, man, it's been great. We got to have you back on because we've got to really chop up that subject of sales. And even you threw something else in there about the pricing structure. There's a lot of different things I think that are just really valuable for people trying to get into this industry to consider while they're, you know, on their way to, you know, maybe having their own firm. I talked to a lot of people that want to go independent that are working for a large brokerage firm or a large wirehouse or something like that right now. And I'm like, hey, you know, this is the best time, like you said earlier, to get your education, get your experience, right? And before you branch out, you know, learn all the things that are going to be potential pitfalls that you don't have to necessarily jump through. If you know them or you've heard from somebody or you had a mentor that says, hey, watch out there. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a blind spot. So I appreciate you coming on this morning and sharing your knowledge with the audience. Well, we'll talk to you later and you have a great day.
All right,
bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it, and it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.